Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
America and You Can Do Magic, which is very appropriate because Matthew Lamotte is sitting in front of me. You can do magic, Matthew.
Good
morning.
So.
Good morning, because you've morning. Been Magic Circle Close-Up Magician of the Year 2017, 2018, 2019. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What
Thank
does it
you.
Mean, that award to you?
It means quite a lot. It means quite a lot. It was a goal that I set early on. It was over 7 years ago now, and I've spent the last 7 years trying to get the 3 years in a row. So it's been a long old journey, and now it's come to a close getting the 3 years. So I'm delighted.
Oh, that was a specific target, was it? 3 years in a row.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit of a bet with a friend, another member of the Magic Circle. And it just sort of turned into something that I really wanted to achieve. So it's taken 7 years to get there, but I got there.
Well, congratulations. And the Magic Circle, I was slightly intrigued by the Magic Circle. It always, you know, it's curious. To those on the outside, we don't know what goes on in the Magic Circle, but obviously they're alive and vibrant and thriving. What do they do?
It's an interesting organisation, actually. They've got members' nights every Monday, so members around the world are welcome to come to the club, and they have lectures coming along. There's performances from people around the world, and the people go on tour and visit the Magic Circle specifically. Public shows happen every single week. I think it's twice a week there's a public show on, so if you want to go to the Magic Circle, definitely get down there. It's an amazing show. They have a very popular Christmas show, which sells out every single year. They have a crazy, an amazing lineup every Christmas. But for the members, it's mainly a networking place and a place to learn and help and encourage and just socialise. It's a really, really good place.
And have you always wanted to be a magician?
Always.
Why?
That's an interesting question. Nobody's asked me that, Lee. Why? I think it was one of those things that I just gravitated towards as a child. Everyone tries out sort of skateboarding, yo-yoing and magic. You know, everyone gets a magic set when they're a kid. But when I was about 6 years old, I saw a magician on television. My dad seems to think it was Paul Daniels, so I'll go along with that. And my older brother had a Paul Daniels magic set in the loft, played with that, and I kept on gravitating towards it. And just, it stuck with me, and I loved it.
And it's close-up magic that you do. So do you prefer that rather than the big set pieces?
I've tried sort of everything in magic, almost. There's a few bits I still haven't tried. But I think there's the intimacy with close-up magic, where you can really share a moment and give somebody a real experience of magic, but at a one-on-one sort of a level, or sort of in a small group of people. I think that's the way magic should be experienced, rather than on a big stage where you're sort of going, well, I can't see behind the curtain what's happening there, or the big box, I can't quite see what's happening. There's a bit of a disconnect, a bit of a fourth wall. So I think with close-up magic, it's kind of an immersive experience, which I like to give people.
I mean, people watch you very closely, don't they? Obviously, if it's close-up magic, everybody's watching to see how it's done.
They do, which gives me a huge advantage, because the closer you look, the easier it is for me to...
Is it really?
to manipulate the situation so I can gain the upper hand.
And it's not just about magic these days, you've got to have the banter as well.
Yeah, I think you need a personality in magic. I think that's a really important part of it, because people want to talk to, relate to, and watch other people that they're interested in or that are likable. So if you're not likable, you're not going to do very well as a magician, or in any part of life, really.
And are you a full-time magician?
Yes. Yeah, it's a full-time profession for the last, the last 9 years now, yeah.
So where do you work?
I work for myself.
Parties and weddings?
So corporate events, weddings, 50th anniversaries, that sort of thing. I put my head into children's parties at one point early on, realised that wasn't for me. So it was just adult events.
They're very noisy affairs, aren't they?
It's very difficult. I mean, any children's entertainer, I take my hat off to them, because the amount of energy and the amount of control that you need to keep 30 young kids under control is, very difficult. So it's many adult events now. And that's what I enjoy doing.
So how do you practice? Is it just practice? You learn tricks from other magicians or off the internet? Is there like a qualification?
There's no real qualification. There is a college of magic in South Africa, funnily enough, where you can get a degree in magic. But really, it's a solitary sort of trade or craft to learn, because you have to put the hours in order to get to a level where you can tell a story that will accurately deceive someone's perception of that story.
And do it with confidence.
Exactly, yeah. And being able to do it. I mean, the best way to get into magic and just start getting good at it is just doing it for people and failing a lot. That's part of the game. I think in anything, you've got to fail a lot in order to get to the other side. So,
and who inspires you? Who are your favourite magicians?
At the moment, I think David Blaine was a huge influence when I was in my teens. He sort of spurred me on when he came onto the scene, so that was a huge influence. Derren Brown is probably the most recent individual that I really respect, and I think a lot of the Magic community respects hugely. He's a living legend at the moment. But the way he's told his story through Magic and the way he's sort of spun his web around that sort of topic is really interesting. He's a genius.
So, it is incredible watching his shows. You just, how on earth did he do that?
He's a very, very, very good showman.
So, when you watch a Derren Brown show, do you know how he did it?
You know what? I think Derren is probably one of the only people that I watch where I just let go of that and watch the performance as it is, because he's such a strong showman. Myself as a magician watching, I'm not really trying to work things out. I'd rather enjoy the performance. And yeah.
Do you have a favourite trick of yours?
Oh, that's a really difficult one to answer.
How many tricks do you have?
There are, so professionally, that I'll take out. It takes a long time to get a piece of magic. Rather than, I hate the word trick, because it.
Yes, I wondered if
nobody
that was
knows. Nobody knows. But a trick is sort of like a deception or a fakery, whereas a piece of magic is more of an experiencey thing. So I'm trying to get people to say piece of magic, but it's probably a card in ice. So a card is signed, a few details written on there, it vanishes and then appears inside a block of ice. It's probably something I'm most well known for doing, and I really enjoy performing because it's such an astonishing piece of magic.
And how'd you do that, Matthew?
Oh, that well, we have to say.
I thought I might just kind of catch you off guard. Well, you're going to do a piece of magic for us now. Right?
Yes.
Magic on the radio, so we'll need to talk it through and describe it to listeners.
Okay, so as I walked into here, I did mention before we went on air that there's a deck of cards on the table.
There is.
My hands haven't been near them.
Nope.
Nothing. And I haven't asked you any questions either, have I? About sort of what cards or anything like that. We haven't mentioned anything like that.
Nothing.
Lovely. So, Lee, for the first time, I want you to imagine that I'm taking the cards out of the deck. I'm not going to do that, really, but I want you to imagine that I'm spreading through the cards and there's one card facing the other way, facing towards me. You can't see what the value of that card is. You can't see the colour or anything. So just picture that in your mind. And visually see me remove the card, and I'm going to turn it around and you'll see what card that is.
Yep.
Okay, can you see the card?
Yes.
What would that be?
It's Eight of Hearts.
It was the Eight of Hearts?
Yeah.
But nothing actually physically happened. I didn't signal to you, say, the Eight of Hearts.
No.
It was just the Eight of Hearts. That's the strangest thing.
Oh my goodness, what are you going to do?
Nothing hidden in my hands. I'll carefully take the cards.
So you're taking the cards out of the pack now.
Out of the pack. One card.
Yes.
Is facing
so
the other way.
So you're doing what you described earlier, so you're spreading all the cards out and one card is facing towards you now.
And this is what you picture in your imagination. And that one card is...
Oh my goodness.
The Eight of Hearts.
Oh my goodness. How on earth? How did you do that?
Isn't that lovely?
That is amazing. That is amazing, Matthew. Wow, I'm in awe. It must be brilliant when you get this kind of reaction to a trick.
It's lovely to see somebody.
Yeah,
no, it's lovely to see somebody sort of enjoying themselves and experiencing that kind of wonder. And I think it's something that adults don't experience enough. And I think children have it on a daily basis. They'll see something brand new and go, "Oh my, you know, wow, how's that work?" And it's just a tractor or something. But adults very infrequently get that experience. So it's lovely to be able to give it to other people.
Because how did you do it? Because my mind flicked around various cards and before it landed on, if I'd have said the Four of Clubs, would it have been the Four of Clubs?
Who knows, Lee? You'll have to have me back on the show.
We'll have you back on the show. Well, congratulations again on the award. Where do you see yourself going then with magic? Where would you like to be, say, in 5 years' time?
In 5 years' time, I'm... I think the World Championships is something that's in my visions, but they happen only every 3 years, so that's not for a few
years. I
didn't
even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Olympics. So every 3 years, they'll each country will put in a bid, and then it'll be held there. So it's quite a big deal. So that's kind of in my peripherals. But I put a show on in the autumn this year, in October, in Cambridge. So that's my next project that I'm really working on. Beyond that, it's just trying to explore other forms of media and trying to put my name out there and get more attention towards magic and trying to raise the level and raise the bar of magic as a whole, really.
And do you invent pieces of magic, or, you know, do you look at other pieces of magic on the internet or something and twist them, or are there set pieces of magic that everybody does?
So there's books out there, and there's now at the advent of the internet, there's magic everywhere. So it's interesting to see what people are doing and their other ideas. I don't tend to consume too much because it can muddy the water when you're trying to create. But there are classics of magic that are in books. I've got quite a large library at home of magic books going back over 100 years. So it's nice to flick through the things that were once old and then seeing how I can adapt those for a new audience and make them interesting. There's a few things that I've invented. One of them I used in this year's competition, which was vanishing a borrowed ring, and then a lamp on the set flickered out and the ring was found inside the light bulb and we had to smash it open to retrieve it. So that was something I created.
No way.
So, yeah, it was
The very same ring.
The very
Goodness.
Same ring.
Do you know, if you don't know how it just blows your mind to the average person. Well, congratulations again. If people want to know more about your work, it's dappermagic.com.
That's right. Yep.
And you've got the show in October. Do you know much about that yet, where it's going to be?
Not yet. I'm in conversations with a couple of venues. I'm still sort of scouting around for the right place for it, because it's going to be limited to 40 guests and probably a short run over a week. So I need to find the right venue for that. So, yeah.
So keep your eye on the website, dappermagic.com, and yep. You're on Twitter as well, aren't you?
Yep, hashtag dappermagic on social media. And if you want to sign up for early tickets for the show, then on the website, if you click on the show tab, there's a little sign-up bar there.
And it's Matthew Lemotte. Is that your real name?
That is my real name, yes.
It's French, obviously.
It's from the Channel Islands, so from Guernsey.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, lovely to talk to you, Matthew. Completely blown my mind with that. Good luck with everything. Let us know about your show in October. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much.